So we're going blue. We've gone blue this week. At the Blumenthal Center here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
You lost me for just a second.
No. Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 152, We're Going Blue. No, we're at the Blumenthal Center, and we don't go blue. We don't. We try to, as we always say, what do we say?
PG-13. Pretty good, if you're 13.
But this came up recently because we were just talking with our booking agent. You know, we're going to the New Victory Theater in March of 2010, and they are family-friendly. They're like Times Square's family-friendly subscription theater.
Yeah, I believe they're owned by Disney, and it's intended that anybody in the whole family can come. I think they say age 11, mm-hmm. And so they've looked at...
I think they have different ages for different shows, depending on what the shows are.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And so they've asked us to make sure that it's, you know, squeaky clean, which is not too hard, but...
No, it's not hard at all. I mean, the only curious thing is... What's happening?
Matt is throwing grapes at
Allie. Oh, I hate it.
Matt is throwing grapes at Allie.
I didn't mean for that to be a podcast interrupter. I just wanted to abuse Allie.
It's going across the room.
I only wish I had the camera out.
This should be a video podcast. Fruit abuse.
Yeah,
but then I'd have to edit it.
Put me look on your face, so I threw grapes at you.
And when her mouth is open, like, and that shock thing, you'll probably get a grape right in there.
Yeah, you want to end my
point. I'm a grape
are
icky.
Yeah, all right.
Grapes are icky. Someone from Sonoma cannot say grapes are icky.
Yeah, that's really.
I lived in a vineyard for too long.
Grapes are only not icky when they're fermented.
and at the New Victory, we will not be throwing grapes because, kids, you could put out someone's eye.
Yeah. That's right.
We will be throwing lifesavers.
Exactly right. Well, what's squeaky clean? Where does the body line cross? And I think we're just going to discover this as we get there. I mean, they seem to be good so far, but Shakespeare is pretty bawdy, and the complete works of William Shakespeare is in that bawdy spirit. And I think actually they say that on their website.
Yeah. What's family friendly? Can you make gas jokes? I'm guessing you can.
Can you even say fart jokes? You just said gas jokes, which is a nicer way to say fart jokes.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you say penis jokes?
Yes. Can you refer to naughty bits?
Yes.
You know, I don't know that one at the New Victory can make reference to genitalia or breasts or.
Well, and this is the other thing too. This is that happens in other theaters too when they say, "Oh, well, in the America show when we mention penis, grow a penis as an anagram for Spiro Agnew." Well, that's offensive. Well, what's offensive about it? Penis is the word.
It's in the dictionary.
It would be more offensive to do an adolescent euphemism. You know, that seems more childish and stupid and less grown up.
And let's face it, you have to call it something.
Yeah.
And whatever word you're going to choose is going to be the word that is going to upset somebody. So you can't make a mime out of an anagram.
And Spiro Agnew is not an anagram of grow a meat into veg.
But it's interesting. There's Titus Andronicus in the Shakespeare play, which is about cannibalism and rape.
Yeah.
Although we haven't gotten any notes that we need to change that.
Yeah, we probably won't need to change any of that part. I hope not, because I don't want to have to memorize anything else. But then we were having this conversation with our booking agent, and we were talking about, well, is the show family friendly? Well, it depends on the family.
That's exactly my answer. Every family is different.
Yeah.
You know, some families are okay with violence. Some families are okay with sex. Some families are not okay with any of it.
Yeah.
Some are okay with all of it.
Well, and here tonight in Charlotte, we have many families here. There's a lot of little kids.
Yeah.
Including one little kid who looks like he's about 10, and he raises his hand and says he's read King John, and he looks so scary, I think I believe him.
Yeah. Hey, that's Joshua. I sat next to him, and I said, you've obviously seen the show before. He said, oh, I've got the DVD. And then started quoting the kissing scene between you and I. He knew every word of it, even down to the timing of the kick and the comedy. The kid's, I think he's jonesing for a job with us.
That's good. That's good. I like that. Well, I think the shows are family friendly for sure, but I don't think we could never say that. We should never say that, because if you say it's family friendly, then it really better be squeaky clean.
Well, even when you say it's PG-13, then everybody says, well, my kids are a little more mature than everybody else's kids.
Right.
So they'll bring a 10-year-old or a 7-year-old.
Right.
You can't say it's family friendly because then you think it's a Disney film.
Right.
But it's funny, I don't think we do anything in the show that couldn't be in a PG movie, which means anybody could go see it.
Yeah, anybody could go see it, and there might even be a shit or two. There might be a word. I don't think that maybe there's one F word if it's in expletive context, mm-hmm. not in a verb context.
Yeah, and well, so, but it's fun. But so I don't know. Yeah, so if it was a movie, we're rated PG. But I don't know for theater. What we found is make it sound more inappropriate than it is when right. we're talking about it and promoting it
right.
so that nobody will come expecting it to have, you know, as I say, be a Disney film.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've never met a kid who was offended.
No. And never the kids. It's never the kids. It's always a grown-up. They're always a parent.
Yeah, and surely it's more to do with intention. I mean,
context, yes.
In context. I mean, it comes from a good place. Mm-hmm. And I think... it's always suggested or innuendo, or it's never that we, you know, throw it out there to be dirty or you know, off color. Right. It's all done unknowingly, really. Right. And I think that changes it a lot.
Right. Well, and did you happen to see the reviews I forwarded that they forwarded us from here in Charlotte?
Well, there was two. One was very good. Mm-hmm. Well, one was excellent, and one was good, but. Sort of, she was being particular. And what cracked me up about her review is that, well, it's been revised, and here's all the things I don't like about it now. But almost everything that she said you don't like about it now has been in the show since before it was revised.
Everything. I looked at each point. Everything she didn't like has been in the show since the beginning. If she says she saw it, it was there when she saw it before. And the only thing that she singled out as the thing that she did like was my opening speech, which has changed considerably. Yeah. That's the one part that has been revised.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, now it's so bawdy and inappropriate for kids. And she said, don't get me wrong, it's funny, but they've ruined it. I mean, this is now like this. You know, now they do the histories as a football game. We always did that.
Yeah, right.
You know, et cetera.
Yeah, my new speech, my speech is zips right along, but Rippy's speech falls flat, which has not changed at all.
Hardly.
Hey, well, Blackberry,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, what are we talking here? Come on, my speech falls flat?
According to this woman.
Oh, right.
Yeah, who doesn't know what she's talking
she
about.
She obviously has no clue what's going on.
No, yes, clearly. As she's proven in print, and I'll put a link to this review up on our website. I tweeted about it. It was just so spectacularly wrong. 5 minutes. No! No!
I'm sorry, you mentioned the F word. What F word?
We don't say it. Austin was saying he thinks in a PG movie, if you use it as a swear word instead of as a verb, it can be said.
All right.
You can get away with one, I think.
Yeah, I think it's one or two.
Say that again, but what's your expertise in the movie ratings?
We had to watch the trailers when we were putting them on any sort of G-rated movie. Because when you get a trailer, it just comes in this plastic bag, and you have to just watch it and make sure. Because sometimes it's rated, it might say G, but it doesn't actually mean G. So watch it and see if anybody's going to complain, because anything, if it's a G-rated movie, you can't put PG or PG-13 trailers on it.
Oh,
certainly not R.
And you did this at the Sebastiani Theater in Sonoma, where you have worked since
forever.
You were a wee one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the good review here in Charlotte mentioned that it's a little inappropriate for children, mm-hmm. even that review. And we were having this conversation with the powers that be here at the Blumenthal Center, and we're talking about, well, they're going to have us back, they're going to bring the sports show back, and they've had us back two or three times, but they don't think they're going to book the Bible show, because they mm-hmm. just think that the Bible show here in mm-hmm. Charlotte, you know, pretty, I don't know, wouldn't call it progressive, but they know their audience, and mm-hmm. I guess if those two reviews thought this show was inappropriate or for little children, then maybe... a show about the Bible, even though it's a celebration and irreverent and people love it.
So we shouldn't fling baby Jesus across the stage during the sports show.
I guess that's a good note. That's what we are learning, yes. Thank you, Allie.
But to be honest, I think we would agree that the Bible is the squeakiest clean, most clean of all the shows. I wanted to get back to the point about, well, you know, this reduced, the complete works of William Shakespeare Bridge, it's kind of bawdy, and there's sex, and there's violence, and yeah, look at the source material.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think Romeo and Juliet is about, or like, you know, what do you think Titus Andronicus is about, or Coriolanus, or the Scottish play? Yeah. It's murder, death, sex, so... Yeah.
If anything, we've cleaned it up.
We have.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, the only F word we throw out there is fellatio, which is isn't that a hair product?
Yes, it is.
So I mean, you know, come on, we're as squeaky as can be.
You're right, that is an F word, and my position is, if any kid knows what the word fellatio means coming in and thinks that's funny, that's not our fault. Hi,
Hi, this is Tom Gabbard. I'm president of the North Carolina Blumenthal Performing Arts Center, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? Our autumn 2009 tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, continues this week at Duke and East Carolina universities, next week at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek, California, and then we'll be in Madison, Wisconsin for 3 weeks in December. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for more venue and ticket information. We just finished up another fantastic week at the Blumenthal Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, and while we were here, we took the opportunity to read the first draft of The Complete World of Sports Abridged, our seventh stage show. Well, actually, calling it the first draft is probably overstating it slightly. Mostly, what we were reading were sketches and connective material that we've written so far. Probably maybe 20 minutes all told, and maybe 5 minutes worth of material might remain, but it was a good stab. It was a good start, and we chatted about it the following night in the green room.
How do we think it went last night? The read through of the new material.
It wasn't as painful as many first read throughs. And we've often just done it amongst ourselves, but we had Douglas Young and his bride, and Allie was here, and they had good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's always a mixed feeling. Some things you think are going to be funny turn out to be sentences.
Well, what was interesting for me is that a lot of the stuff was funny, funnier than I thought, I think we're clearly on the same page, which is also always a good sign.
But the trouble is, there's only one page.
Yeah, there's only one page, and there's not room for one of us. I have some bad news for you. We'll talk later. But the other thing I was feeling was that all the fun stuff that we want to put into the show. I think we have a really great handle on what that is, mm-hmm. all the fun stuff. But we need to kind of build the structure of the show first. Mm. We had that. That's the thing we're still working on. Then we could put up all the fancy, funny decorations, but we need the construction of the thing.
The meat and potatoes.
The meat and spuds.
Yep.
What'd you think, Matt Rippey?
Oh, I enjoyed it. Of course, I read it cold, obviously, and although I have to say it's going to be weird that I'm changing my name to Dominic, and you're going to be calling me Dominic all tour long. That's a bit weird.
I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work. Yeah. I'm not sure how that's going to play, but I'm excited for the attempt.
I think you're going to have to talk to Matt Rippey after you talk to me.
What?
Oh, yeah. No, I think it'll all be fine.
I thought it was fun stuff. I mean, first glance, it's great stuff. And you know, we always have this question of if people laugh, it's not going to go into the show. The stuff that's really funny that makes it into the show is stuff that, you know, we don't really know is funny until you really get it up on its feet. So, I mean, it's really hard to tell, isn't it? You know, one thing I thought just on first read of what you've written so far is it smart? I mean, it's smart. I don't know if I can say it's smarter than past shows, but it's clever.
Why do you say that it's smart?
I don't know. Just it's you know. I mean, sports are, you know,
engaging. They're visceral. Yeah.
Visceral. And kind of, you know, you just think of big, you know, sports good. Me like sport.
Oh.
But the comedy isn't. The comedy is sharp. It's funny. Maybe it's too funny. I mean, we should keep in mind our demographic here.
Yeah, we haven't put the scene in yet where we all take off our shirts and paint ourselves blue and red by from waist and face.
Yeah, so the scene where we're all wearing sports bras.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Speaking
the
of visuals. Demographics, okay, now we got to keep this in mind. USA Today says that who's an NFL fan? Well, apparently, of Democrats, 50% are fans.
Okay.
Of Republicans, 59% are fans. We're looking at our demographics here, guys.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that graphic. I'm not even sure what that tells us. All right, 9% more Republicans are NFL fans than Democrats?
Yes, if you're a Republican, you're 18% more likely to be an NFL fan.
Also this week, we heard Scott Simon conduct a fascinating interview with Emma Thompson on Weekend Edition on National Public Radio. This made us think about the interview that we conducted with Emma Thompson on the Reduced to Shakespeare radio show on the BBC World Service.
We still have seven more tragedies to cover, and here in the studio to help us in this pursuit is renowned Oscar-winning classical actress Emma Thompson. Thank you for joining us, Emma.
My pleasure.
Emma, you've performed in most or all of Shakespeare's tragedies during your illustrious career. Which is your favorite?
Well, Austin, I would have to say that would be Titus Andronicus.
Oh, one of Shakespeare's most obscure works.
Yeah, and one of his most melodramatic and violent and bloody.
Is that what attracts you to the play?
Absolutely. Well, that and the cannibalism.
But do you think Titus Andronicus is a play that has resonance for people today?
Oh, absolutely. I would even go so far as to label Titus a women's play, if you will.
Really? A women's play? Oh, is that because of all the blood?
Well, no, not just that, but because although the women are victims of violent crime, they are in fact avenged. The rapists are killed, justice is served. Now, this is a message that women need to hear. And then, after they're killed, they're chopped up and served to their mother in a pie. And therein lies the second point why this is a women's play. The baking and cooking that are the centerpiece of most women's lives today are a central theme in Titus.
Wait, do you really believe that women's lives today should revolve around cooking and baking?
Well, if they don't, I think they should.
How's Kenneth?
Fine.
Is it true that he hasn't spoken to you since you won the Oscar and he didn't?
I have no comment on that.
Is it true that he hopes someday to develop lips?
That is true.
Thank you for your candor, Emma. There you have it, Titus Andronicus, Emma Thompson's favorite Shakespearean tragedy. Emma, I've always found you to be a stunningly attractive woman, but I have to say you look much different in person than you do on the screen.
Yes, that's true.
Would you mind describing yourself to the people listening?
Of course. I'm wearing a tasteful black gown and rubber gloves. I'm about 6'2", blue eyes, and completely bald.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been taken in once again. It wasn't really Emma Thompson here with us in the studio. It was our very own Reed Martin, professional impressionist.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. That Emma Thompson interview, and in fact the entire Reduced Shakespeare Company radio show, is available at iTunes. Send us your Emma Thompson interviews via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also find us at facebook.com, become a subscriber to our YouTube channel, or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, apprentice impressionist Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jesse Castle. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Tom Gabbard and everyone at the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. We cannot wait to come back. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 152 for 156th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.